whatever you're doing, do it with love.
Yeah.
Do it with grace. Do it with ease. Whatever it is.
Welcome back, Intimates. Thanks for your support on Patreon, making this 2021 season possible. This podcast is about all things intimate: relationships, love, connection, community, consensual non-monogamy, kink, orgies, lovers, and of course, good old-fashioned sex. I talk with old friends and even meet some new ones. I interview people from all walks of life, from recovered addicts to counselors, sex partners to perfect strangers. I'd like to thank my hosts, the Musqueam First Nation, as this podcast is recorded on their unceded ancestral territory, where I was born, where I work, and where I currently live and play. So settle in for an intimate conversation. Mahima is back today to talk about daily practices and consistency. Many of us say we want to be disciplined. She prefers using the word blissciplined, in that discipline need not be an onerous task or strife. She'll discuss the importance of community in helping with that blissipline, as well as the culture they embody and model for you. We'll touch on the importance of play in making daily practices compelling. And finally, content warning for the word tribe to mean a small community of non-Indigenous people forming close relationships. But the takeaway here is that forming close relationships and having a collection of humans that model effortful culture for you is extremely important if you want to be disciplined. You can add yourself, Mahima, to that list as someone who, you know, was born, who survived apartheid Zimbabwe.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's incredible to me. Just that piece of your story, obviously it doesn't define you, but just that piece of your story is so divorced from my current experience in a way that is so wonderful that children growing up don't deal with the same problems, at least in the same ways that we did.
Yes. Well, thank you. What a privilege to be amongst such epic and awesome people. So thanks for that acknowledgement. And yes, I'm excited about our conversation today.
Wonderful. Well, I kind of went into this one with a lot less planning and preparation. So I'm just really interested to hear more of what you would like to talk about. Would you like to talk about sort of grace, or like the beauty of life, or like what sorts
Let's
of...
Let's talk about discipline. Let's talk about discipline.
I love it. I love it. Discipline is something I personally struggle with. So like creative approaches to discipline would be amazing for me.
Yeah. So let's talk about discipline in the direction of what we say that we want. Right? So, you know, like, I want to lose weight. Okay, like I told you, I did actually, right? And then how do we make that happen, right? Mm-hmm. How do we really stay committed to the path so that we achieve that goal, right? I believe, or even something else. I want to do my daily practice, right?
Yeah.
I want to get my meditation done every day.
Yeah.
So I believe that there is a deeper decision that hasn't happened yet, mm-hmm. when somebody is not able to stay, I call it blissciplined. Okay. I call it blissciplined because I feel there, when I have tried to change something in my life, I need to have the decision come from my soul and not my ego mind.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It comes from from deep inside, from the heart, from the soul, from the, I am sick and tired. I am done with this being the way it is. So let's say if it is, why would you do any meditation? Why would you have any type of daily practice? It's because you're sick of feeling like shit.
Yeah.
You're just sick of it. You are so done with it. And you understand that if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got, right? So you've got to find a way to disrupt that pattern and start doing things differently. It's that simple. If we want to change something, whatever we're trying to change, we just need to find a way to disrupt and do things differently, right? So for me, I've managed to stay committed, disciplined, right? Mm-hmm. When I have come to the place where I've taken the decision to change that thing, with my heart, where I'm like, I am done with feeling busy with this story. This has to change. And I've changed my financial life, having made a decision to change it first, and then being disciplined to ask myself, what is my very next step? What is my very next step to do?
Yeah.
And am I willing to do that step? Right?
Yeah.
And having a plan of action is also very helpful, right? As opposed to just hoping, like, for example, when I did this weight loss story that I told you about, I didn't just wake up and what I'd been doing before, which was having no plan and just trying to eat a little bit less here, trying to do a little bit more exercise. I had a full on plan. Yeah. Yep. And that plan was, I would do, you know, these shakes that I take, I would do two of those shakes and a small meal. And then I walk 10,000 steps and I committed to doing that for a month.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also said for 3 months, I wouldn't drink alcohol, eat gluten or sugar. Right. And I just decided that I was going to, like it was so deep in my soul. I was just ready for this. But before I got ready for this, I sat in the, I want to call it the ugliness of the shadow. Yeah. I sat in the ugliness of the shadow, and I remember this moment actually, because I hadn't jumped in the scale for literally years or something, right? Like two or three years, and my clothes weren't fitting anymore. And I was, you know, and I saw myself, blah, 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 the story, right? But I was escaping. I was escaping from the story somehow, right? Right. And then I went on this vacation, and, I saw a scale there, and I had this crazy, stupid idea to jump on the scale. Okay.
Okay.
And I jumped on the scale, and I got shocked.
Really?
Okay. Yes, I did. It was as if I had had wool over my eyes, and because I was escaping from the reality, right? Mm. But seeing the number on the scale, it just all, I saw the weight on my body suddenly, right? Yeah. I saw it, I felt it, I owned it. And I sat in a kind of comatose state of disgust with myself, right? For 2 days, Victor, I literally walked around like a zombie, just looking and seeing and feeling all of that weight, right?
Yeah.
And within that moment, of those 2 days where I took the time to feel the pain of what I'd been doing to myself, right? That came the decision from my soul, that's it. I'm changing this, right? And once that decision was taken, I didn't have to use discipline. Like I didn't have to force myself to do anything. It was easy to do it, because it was just like, I just knew I'm done with this. I'm done with feeling like denying or feeling uncomfortable or not fitting my clothes. It's like a story that I'm done with. But I took the time to go into the pain of that.
Yeah.
Right? And the same way when I, you know, I honestly didn't feel I need discipline. I just did what I said I was going to do. Right. And this is building trust with yourself. And I love this. I love this path of self-mastery, where you make a decision to do something, and you trust yourself, because you're not using the mind to do it. You're using the soul, the heart, which is so much more supportive and wants you to succeed, right? So for me, it was really, once I had my plan, so I didn't have to think, how am I going to do this? I had the plan, and I just did it from a place of, honestly, from a place of joy, right? And so each day, was it easy? No. Was it challenging? Yes. Yeah, but I was committed, because I'd made the decision that I'm going to do it, right? And part of the self-mastery for me is learning to trust yourself. You need to build that trust, that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. Or else don't say it. Don't say it. Go on fucking eating, you know, doing what you need to, you know, just don't say I'm doing it.
Right.
Rather build the relationship where you're like, be honest and say, I'm not ready to do this. I'm not ready for the change.
That's fantastic.
I don't want to do it.
I love that. And this really ties in with what you were saying about being connected to yourself, because you're building that trust.
Exactly. And you need to know that once you say, I'm on this, you're freaking on it. Right.
Right.
And I know that there are certain times in my life, I'm not ready to deal with that thing.
Right.
And I say it, I say, I'm not ready to deal with this. So I might be, bitching and moaning about this thing. And I'm going to stop doing that because I'm not ready to make this change.
Right. So what's the sense in being really unhappy about being really unhappy?
Right. So just let it go and move on, or else go to that pain. Go into the pain of what you want to do, right? So I did the same thing when I, I found myself financially dependent on my husband with 40 years old. I'd sort of, got myself into this situation where, my business wasn't doing well. I was dependent on my husband. He'd sort of taken over the role as the care bread maker, and I'd let it happen. And I just felt no. This has to change. And I went into the same dark place where I sat with my situation and looked at it and sat in it and didn't try to escape or tell myself, it's okay. Well, your husband doesn't care. He loves you. I just stopped the stories and I just owned in myself that I didn't like this situation that I got myself into, and I wanted to get out of it. And there in that shadow moment, I took my decision. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm done with this and I'm going to change this.
I love that. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. And then I say, and that's how I, changed all the things I wanted to change in my life. The decision needs to come first, and it needs to come from your soul. It needs to come from a place where it doesn't matter how long it's going to take you. Yeah. So it's like, this is happening. I've decided it is happening. Okay. And then you just get on with it from a soulful, loving, spiritual place, actually, and not from this forcing and hammering place.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that comes from the disconnection of trying to run your whole life from your mind instead of getting into your stomach, getting into your heart, getting into your guts, and just really feeling it. And if you aren't on board with what your body is feeling, if you're not living in that embodied way, then you're at odds with it. If you've dealt with a lot of trauma, like I definitely have had that disconnection from self where you're just dissociated from your body. And then surprise, surprise, you try and make yourself do things. And sometimes it works perfectly, but other times you're really fighting something deep in core that you just haven't dealt with. And if you aren't able to do the therapy and, to go to the EMDR and, sort of reconnect with your body or have a spiritual awakening, right? Whatever works for you. If it's a spiritual awakening, wonderful. It's significantly cheaper.
Not when people come on our campus. Okay.
Oh, I see. I meant if you have if you do what you did and have a spiritual awakening and you just on your own, that's pretty exceptional. Like that is really quite a wonderful piece of history. Yeah. True life. Thank you.
You know why that worked, Victor? It worked because I was part of a community of people that were creating an energy field of transformation. That's why I could go there and drop into that space. On my own, just wandering around in the hills, I probably would have never experienced this.
Right.
Quite frankly,
well, you're also part of that culture. Like I've been in an ashram and everyone's trying, and there's something about being around. It doesn't matter where people are. It doesn't matter how advanced or not advanced they are. I mean, some people say it does. It is inspirational to be around someone who is more at peace with themselves and with their life and with existence. But if you're just part of a community of people, a culture of effort, you become a more effortful person.
Mm-hmm. I do agree that it's good to have somebody who is holding that space on a more consistent level, right? Because that was what helped me, right? Seeing these teachers holding this massive space for people, right? And then of course, seeing, tribe members that had been there for longer periods of time and they were, living with more freedom, more grace. And so I could see that, that's where I could reach, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to be in a tribe with all of those different levels and not be in a tribe with just only beginners or just only, super evolved. I think it's good for everyone to mix together. Yeah. And that's what we do in our community, right? Where we have a very mixed levels of where people are. And it's beautiful to see the fresh students, fresh members coming in, and then just seeing them grow, like just seeing them step into that power. And everybody knows where they're at and can support them because they've been there. They've been that person, and they can exactly give you the right amount of, you know, push and love and care to that you can start moving really rapidly in the process of self-development, right?
Yeah.
I love that. I love being part of healthy communities of growth. I also think it's very important to not become cliquey, like, oh, we're the tribe and we figure this shit out, right?
Right.
Like, that's not the attitude. What we need to do is we need to come together, use the tribe energy, and then get excited about going out into the world and being the leaders that will be able to inspire anybody else who was like you, struggling with their self-worth and their self-love. And just by being an example, you know, maybe inviting people to a conversation, whatever. If they say to you, like, "Hey, what are you doing? You look super happy all the time," right? Which is what happened to me. How I started teaching is people would just say this to me all the time. They'd say, "Your energy is crazy. You're like have such a great energy. What are you doing?" And then I'd say, well, honestly, I can tell you what I do, and you know, I'm doing something for this. It's not just, you know, I wasn't just born like this.
Yeah.
So I love that. You know, basically I say it's a leadership training. It's a leadership training. And you know, when people come on our campus, they go out and they start, you know, creating magic in their own lives, creating their own communities and tribes of, you know, more loving, joyful people. And it's beautiful. Yeah.
There's a couple of sort of closing notes I wanted to make. One of them was, yes, of course, this ties perfectly into leadership because you're talking about a culture of effortfulness, of being connected with yourself and making a decision to do something, and then having the trust with yourself to follow through, which is, you know, a really amazing quality to have just in yourself and also in other people you rely on, whether that's in a community, you know, or a company. And so talking about that sort of taking that mindset of service and leadership rather than pride. Yeah. That ties perfectly into great, you know, leadership in a company.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just love to see people find out, oh, I don't have to live in anger, pain, sadness, depression, feeling lost, confusion, separation. I don't need, like that can be a part of my world, but it doesn't have to be all of what I'm experiencing, right? So
Absolutely.
We don't want to deny any of those things. I'm just saying you don't need to have this as your default setting, right? Let's flip that switch. Let's get the default setting to grounded, peaceful, powerful, gentle, kind and loving to yourself and others. And then, you know, let the other shit be there like 20% of the time, which it will be anyway, right?
Yeah.
And it's nowhere.
And it's so much less effortful. Like I find that when I'm kind to myself, being kind to others isn't energy.
Yes.
Just sort of naturally flows. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I actually still wanted to mention a couple of things. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. Play. You mentioned earlier this idea of like playing with your business and playing at work and at these tasks you have to do. And I absolutely love that. And I wanted to bring it up in this episode because you mentioned it in the previous one.
Mm-hmm. So think about it like this. If you came into this world with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing, it means that this is some kind of a dream. Like we're living, this is a dream that you can wake up from. Right. So death is a way like, okay, so you're gone from this realm of reality, right? So there's a kind of awakening, another type of awakening. So you can have that, like I had a spiritual awakening here while I'm in my body, but the next awakening is leaving the body, right? And where does that adventure continue? So for me, this idea of play comes from that understanding that it doesn't really matter what's going on here, right? We get so upset and we put invest so much into, you know, this has to happen and it has to happen like this and the husband and the wife and the man and yeah, and we put so much stress into something that's going to be left behind, quite frankly,
yeah,
right? And we don't know when it's going to be left behind. Yeah, we're under the delusion that we have time, and many people are discovering
when we have now.
Yeah, yeah. And many people are discovering that delusion now with, you know, what's been happening in the world, right? With war and COVID and all of these things where young people are leaving their bodies, you know, sooner than was expected. And, you know,
I would say that Europeans are more aware of it because young white people are leaving their bodies. But if we truthfully look at the rest of the world, I mean, war and disease is not an uncommon occurrence.
Exactly. Thanks for bringing that up.
It's
very important. Very, very important. Because I say that all the time. Like this,
sure.
You know, people say, this is the worst time in history. I'm like, which planet have you been living on?
Right. And that's such a...
Are we looking at the same planet?
No, you're totally right. Because it's like, what country have you been living in? It is almost a separate planet. Like there's just such a different cultural awareness.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that play is about being in this place of self-awareness where you know that you can go any second. And so therefore, whatever you're doing, do it with love.
Yeah.
Do it with grace. Do it with ease, whatever it is. Right.
That's absolutely yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mahima. I really appreciate your time. And the final thing I sort of wanted to mention, speaking of grace and speaking of doing things with love, mm-hmm. I've been running into this issue very recently where I have been trying to be, like I said, more understanding of people's communication instead of communicating understanding. And what that's led to is two things. One, I'm having much less deep conflict in my life with people with whom I have subtle disagreements. And I'm having a lot more conflict with people in my life with whom I have deep agreements. And it's not what I expected to happen. But this this is in response to your using the word tribe, because it's really common for people to use the word tribe in response to any small collection of people. But Indigenous friends of mine have pointed out that it's a term that's been so negative and so loaded for so long for so many Indigenous folks that it tends to be like actively upsetting when especially small white cultures make it this, this like, I don't want to say exotified thing, but this thing that is just like so wonderful because it's something that I think a lot of people feel has been taken from them, the sense of deep community and belonging.
Yes.
So I've been told not to use the word. So I've been trying to use other words like, found family, phrases like that. But again, I mean, use what words suit you. I just wanted to also mention that to my knowledge, it is considered harmful in North America just because we're still in the midst of like an ongoing genocide, essentially. People are very cautious about using the word genocide, but I mean, we still have child and family services taking kids from their parents and at alarming rates, you know, of incarceration and such that are simply not reflected in other non-Indigenous populations. So,
right.
So look, anyways, I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah. You're bringing up a, you know, very important topic, which unfortunately, because of time, we cannot dive into, but you know, like where do we draw the line of, you know, what we expect from others to say or not say, do or not do, right? Like when, like where, because we can't all know everything, right? Like we can't all know what everyone is thinking. Like I can't spend my life, you know, reading about what everybody is thinking and doing in the world, right? So in, you know, so where does it become where we start to say, okay, that is your pain and we're sorry about that, right? However, you know, can you see the good that we're doing here with that word, right? And not necessarily associated to something over there in the past or in your past, or you know, so it would be an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
How do we manage to come together and create a loving language where, you know, we don't have to be like hypersensitive of if who are we going to, you know, piss off, you know, if we say like this or say it like that or say, yeah. So that's something that's, I think, an interesting discussion for us to have on our next conversation, which I hope you will invite me to, because this has been awesome.
Oh, absolutely. You're most certainly invited. I can't wait to do this again. And also, I'm mindful of time and want to respect yours. Mahima, thank you so much for today. You have been absolutely lovely. And I can't wait to talk with you again.
Thank you so much, Victor. This has been awesome. I want to just keep encouraging everyone out there to, you know, to just live in the presence of the now, to allow yourself to, you know, not let your past define your moment, define your future, and to also not let the fear of the future mess up with the beauty and the power of the now. So just breathe, allow, and live in your heart. Live in your heart and let your head, you know, get out of the way. Love you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you so much, Mahima.
I love you. Thank you so much, Angel. Bye-bye.
So how did you like it, Intimates? Discuss your ideas with the community at facebook.com/IntimateVictor or tweet me at IntimateVictor or follow my Instagram, you guessed it, at IntimateVictor. If you can spare the cost of coffee to help the show keep going, head to patreon.com/VictorSalmon. We hugely appreciate your help to continue making intimate conversations for you and yours. If not, you can always help other intimacy nerds find the podcast by leaving us a review anywhere online, especially iTunes. Or you can just tell a friend. The opening music is on hold for you, made of algorithmically generated notes and chords and played by an AI-rendered saxophonist. The closing music is Gymnopédie No. 1 by Eric Satie. Both are provided royalty-free, courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Thanks so much for your time, and may your most important relationships be filled with the intimate, rich interactions you crave. Be well.